But as was often the case in his public explanations and discussions of this war, the chairman's comments had only a loose relationship with the realities of Iraq, where there was little dispute that the outcome in Fallujah represented a setback for the U.S. cause, and most certainly wasn't something commanders wanted to replicate elsewhere. The arrangement was a stunning victory for the insurgency, charged a memo written by Nathaniel Jensen, a State Department diplomat attached to the CPA. As for the Fallujah Brigade, he added, "I strongly doubt it will work." I looked Iraqis in the eye, and they were thinking, "We can get rid of these guys," recalled a Special Forces veteran who was working on security issues. "That was the day we lost the initiative. The Iraqis realized that they could kick our ass, that they had the option to bring the fight to us." "This turn of events represented a political victory for the insurgents," wrote Ahmed Hashim, an expert on the Iraqi insurgency at the U.S. Naval War College. "The United States had backed down, and, more important, had negotiated with the enemy. It was also a military victory. The insurgents had fought the Americans to a standstill." "We won," agreed an Iraqi insurgent in Fallujah. It wasn't long before the Fallujah Brigade became indistinguishable from the insurgency. Wearing their old Iraqi army uniforms, some of its members, far from being helpful, began shooting at Marines based on the eastern edge of the city. The U.S. military said it considered the brigade to be disbanded. The 800 AK-47s issued to the brigade wound up in the hands of insurgents, as did some heavy machine guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers, U.S. officers said. Fallujah, which the Marines had hoped to make a showcase for how to fight smarter and better in Iraq, instead had become an international rallying point for anti-American fighters. In June, after we had turned everything over to the Fallujah Brigade, "Fallujah was like a siren calling to the insurgents," said Tulin, commander of the 7th Marines. "It was like the bar in Star Wars. All summer long," he said, "foreign fighters poured into the city." The fighting in the area wore on quietly for months. It reverted to the previous pattern of U.S. raids and occasional airstrikes on the one hand, and insurgent car bombs, sniper firings, and mortar attacks on the other. Both sides knew that another big battle was looming. The insurgents dug 306 fighting positions in Fallujah, many of them well-constructed bunkers rigged with explosive booby traps. "There were constant probing actions, attacks, attempts to move weapons caches," Tulin recalled. By late summer, when it became clear that it would take a major battle to pacify the city, the Marines pulled back and waited for the U.S. presidential election campaign to conclude. They were determined not to fight half a battle again, and some in the military thought the next round would be so ugly that it shouldn't be waged until after the election was passed. The experiment of the Fallujah Brigade was also pronounced dead, with the Iraqi unit officially disbanded in early September. Myers, as usual, managed to portray the spring explosion as positive. At a Baghdad press conference on April 15, he called it a symptom of the success that we're having here in Iraq. With Lieutenant General Sanchez at his side, he said, "I think it's that success which is driving the current situation, because there are those extremists that don't want that success." Less than 48 hours later, the U.S. military closed long sections of two of the major highways running into Baghdad, saying the step was a necessary response to a series of attacks and bombings. Privately, U.S. commanders expressed concern about their supply lines. At one point, according to Bremer, a military officer at the CPA ordered that the Green Zone go on food rationing. "The guys in Baghdad were really concerned and thought they'd have to evacuate Baghdad," recalled one general.